The Old Testament reading for today is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 to 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.' For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord." The epistle reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 17 to 31 and chapter 12, 1 to 3. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was our gospel lesson. You know, sometimes in the history of the world, people are known for just one quote. Back in 1938, British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain got aboard a plane in Munich, and he held up a piece of paper that Hitler had signed, promising that after he took part of Czechoslovakia, he was done taking anything more, and Neville Chamberlain proudly proclaimed, "Peace for our time." Well, we know how well that one ended. Excuse me. Jesus is talking about peace. A different kind of peace. See, peace for our time, a lot of times will bring division between family and friends. Peace for our time can cost us dearly. The disciples must have been very upset when they heard these words, I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed I am until it is completed. When he's talking about baptism, he wasn't talking about one with water, like at a baptismal font we have in church. He's talking about a baptism of suffering. On the cross, he suffers hell itself for us. You know, when a man or a woman enters the military today, they're always taught to follow orders. Don't think about it. Just do it. And a good soldier is then focused on accomplishing the mission. Well, what's your mission in life? Some would say, well, to survive, get by, wake up tomorrow. That's usually a pretty good start. All right. Might have the loftier goals. I always love this when they have, not that I watch beauty pageants, but I love the question. I just want world peace and to end hunger. Maybe you got loftier goals like that. You're going to bring about world peace. Well, good for you. Maybe you have more of a spiritual mission saying, I want to spread the gospel. Well, what would you say about a man who got up and said, my mission is to make people angry with each other? You think he's nuts? Oh, come on, that's a question, folks. You're going to think he's nuts. My whole job is to divide people. Jesus said Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. But his mission is one of division in this world of peace. I mean, does Jesus contradict himself? He says, blessed are those who mourn, but yet St. Paul says, rejoice always in the Lord. How can you have both commands? Do they contradict? No. Depends on the circumstances. Jesus is the Prince of Peace when that is needed. And he also has harsh words when they're needed. For example, Jesus had been going about doing various miracles and healing people, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law accused him of being the devil. Now, just to think about that one for a second. Telling the Lord God Almighty that he is the devil. I mean, this is the height of unbelief and rejection. Then Jesus hammers them with the law. The end of that section, that whole story, when they confront Jesus and accuse him of being the devil, it ends with, when Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. They had built their religion around sacrifices. If we do enough sacrifices and we do the sacrifices right and only do them in the temple itself, then God will have to bless us. They had this idea, too, that if every Jew kept the Sabbath perfectly just once, then God would have to send the Messiah. You notice who that puts in control. I make God do things. Christ is coming in, and he's going to upset this entire system. He says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. You know, we all complain about today's PC culture that we live in, that certain words and phrases are no longer acceptable. I really laughed at one I heard yesterday on the radio. Him and her are considered bad now, and you got to refer to people as them and their, even if you're talking about one singular person. Ha! Huh. I thought that one was pretty good. I also like the commonly held idea, we'll just agree to disagree. Well, I can certainly agree to disagree with some of you about a certain evil little vegetable you all know I hate. Okay, you want to eat it? Great, we'll agree to disagree on the value of that one, okay? That kind of stuff's fine to disagree on. But when it comes to who Jesus Christ is and what he's done, there's no give and take on that one. He is who he claims to be. I also love how we live in an age of acceptance. Did you ever notice that? We've got to be accepting of everyone, unless you disagree with me. And then you're a fool. Pet peeve, I'm tired of everything being a phobe. Homophobe, Islamophobe, racist phobe, whatever phobe. I want to get rid of that. The only expression I want to get rid of is in chief. You know, confuser in chief. You know, liar in chief. Stop! Anyway, that just drives me nuts. If you criticize anything, it's a phobe. All right, notice Jesus never celebrated the differences that he had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What they were teaching the people was leading the people astray. And Jesus says he's come to begin a fire. And it's a baptism of fire. He had that mission of division. We see that on the cross when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was separated from God the Father. He came to suffer hell, that division for us. Romans 6 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. See, we receive the benefits of his division when God the Father had him suffer hell itself on the cross. Isn't it kind of ironic? We rejoice in the cross, and Christ was distressed by the thought of the cross. Because he knew what he was going to have to do, but yet he still did it anyway because of his love for us. And when he says it is finished on the cross, he's saying the work of salvation is done. He's done it all. I don't have to do anything. There's nothing for me to do that would warrant my salvation. I can't even take credit for it. He did it all. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I said his mission was one of division. He also says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. There is a division between Christians and the world. The world says to Christians, leave us alone. Or, I believe in God, let's just leave it at that. Or the one I like is, I live a good life. What's wrong with that? As if those things have guaranteed their salvation. When we talk about Christ coming and causing division, like when he challenges the Pharisees and the Sadducees, okay, he's calling on them on their sin. Calling somebody on their sin, pointing it out, causes division. However, not talking about sin can separate a person from God. So if I see my brother sinning, I have the duty. I need to talk to him or her because I don't want them separated from God. But let's admit it, it's a far easier thing to do. Keep your head in the sand and just hope it goes away. Well, when we feel like that, we need to think of the Old Testament story of Eli, the high priest, back in 1 Samuel. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. I kind of like that, Phinehas. Any of you remember the cartoon Phinehas and Ferb? Anyway, he had two sons. And these were two sons that Bible describes them as worthless. They took, not only did they take the meat men for the sacrifice, but the women who worked in the tabernacle, they thought they were his personal harem, their personal harem. Okay? You got the picture. Eli didn't want, put it in today's terms, Eli didn't want to offend. He just didn't want to cause any division. Like, you know, at the dinner table bringing this up, what his boys had been doing. Well, you know how that story ended. Hophni and Phinehas were killed. What does that mean for their eternal salvation? I don't know. But I do know Eli did nothing. Families could get divided over Jesus. After all, even in Jesus' own family, they were divided over him. In the one part in the gospel in Mark, Jesus is in a house preaching, and his mother's brothers and sisters are outside, and they think, as it says, they want to take charge of him, concluding he is out of his mind. James, his own brother, rejected him until after the resurrection. Now, being a city boy, I don't know this for a fact. I've only seen it in Western movies. So, of course, if it's in movies, it has to be true. If you have a prairie fire, the way to escape it is you start another smaller fire further away. Burn out a small area. Then stand in that, because it's already been burnt over. It cannot catch fire a second time. Right, Brad? All right. Got it. So then you stand in this burnt out area, and then as the fire roars around you, that area won't catch on fire again, and you're saved. Look at the cross as our backfire. Not like backfire in a car, you know. I have to make sure I clarify that. Because God's wrath already burned on that cross. When he put Christ through hell for us, his wrath burned there. It doesn't burn on us. So everything going on in the world, we cling to the cross because that is where God has guaranteed our safety. You know, fire is a dangerous thing. Every kid likes to play with it. They really shouldn't. Fire can either burn or it can warm. The gospel of Christ can either warm a person or burn them. Either we're united with Christ or we're divided from him. Now, where we want division is here. We want division from us and our sins. And we thank God that he suffered for us to divide our sins from us. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. And we rise and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.